You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Guest today, Meredith Heller, writes, "Writing has saved my life and woven me back into belonging more times than I can tell you." Heller encourages and inspires us to experience the power of writing as a lifeline and companion for personal discovery. She says, "It's an alchemical process which takes the raw material of our lives and transforms it into something vital and luminous." Today, we'll explore the power of writing to reveal your inner wisdom of healing, creative magic, and personal transformation. Meredith Heller is a poet, singer, songwriter, avid nature lover, and educator with degrees in writing and education. She leads writing workshops online and in person, and also at schools, juvenile detention centers, women's prisons, as well as wellness retreats. She's the author of Write a Poem, Save Your Life, a guide for teens, teachers, and writers of all ages, and Writing by Heart, a poetry path to healing and self-discovery. Join us for the next hour as we explore the transformative approach to unleashing your writer within with our guest, Meredith Heller. I'm speaking with Meredith at her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Meredith, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you, Justine.
Well, I'm equally happy to have you and host you. I'm so excited about this interview. And I'd love to begin with a little bit of your background. I know our listeners would be interested. You have a very unique teenage and into your early 20s time in your life. You left home at 13. So describe to us your life at that time.
Absolutely. So I was a very creative kid. I danced, I sang, I immersed myself in theater and literature. And when I got to be about 11 or 12, I was very disenchanted with society and our culture. It just didn't seem to tap my desire to live in deeper relationship with myself, with creativity, with nature, and with an awareness that everything here is a living, connected organism. And there was nothing in my life, in school or in society or in the culture, that met this need, this hunger in me for creating deeper experience. And so I was very disenchanted, and I left school and I left home and I went out to the woods, into nature. Nature was pretty much the only thing I trusted. I came from a very dysfunctional family, and I felt isolated and disconnected. And so I went to nature that felt clean and real and true. And I raised myself living in nature, in domes that I built in the woods, in abandoned houses along the Potomac River, right outside of Washington, D.C., in Maryland, where I grew up, out in the woods, and living by nature's rhythms. And I was already a singer-songwriter, writing music, writing lyrics, but I was in such a low state of being. Horrible depressions, a lot of trauma. My friends were dying from overdose and suicide. I probably wasn't far behind them. And when I would hit my lowest points, I would get the first line of poetry or song lyric in my left ear, like a gift. I took it as a vow that said, stay here, work with the overwhelming feelings, work with the loss and the hunger and the longing, and name it and shape it until I could see it beyond just being overwhelmed by the feeling, and hopefully to create something beautiful out of what hurt and what made me feel so disconnected from the world. So in that way, the poetry writing and the songwriting really saved my life, was really my lifeline.
I want to actually flesh out a little more about your decision to leave home. I mean, you can look on that as being very courageous. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a 13-year-old to say, hey, I'm heading for the woods. Wow. But also there will be people say, oh, that is also very dangerous. A 13-year-old leaving home and going off by herself into the woods, maybe meeting some other people, and they're taking drugs and doing other things and living outside of normal society, so to speak. Something about that courage and the danger.
Yeah, equally. I think that you've pointed to absolutely both pieces of it. Yes, it was courageous, and it was not safe. It was dangerous. And even though I was leaving situations that didn't feel healthy for me, there were so many years of my life where it got worse before I found my way. I think it helped to deepen my relationship with my muse and with creativity, because this was the only place where I felt alive, where I felt really my vitality and my connection to something bigger than me, is when I was in creative process. So no matter what was happening, no matter how awful or traumatic, there would come a point when I would sit with my guitar or sit with my journal and begin this process of writing that was like redemption. I would start out really confused and not really wanting to live. And I would write my way into purpose and passion. And so I don't recommend anybody leaving home at 13 at all. Like, you do not need this experience. And yet I am willing to weave it in. For a long time, I held it at bay. And it took so much energy to hold away the hurting. And slowly over the years, I just kept letting a little bit more in over time so that I could embrace that part of my life and begin to weave in the wholeness of myself. And I think that that's really informed the work that I do now in terms of saying, to the people who come to workshops or as a poet in the schools, all of you is welcome here. The sorrow, the sadness, the depression, the confusion, the hot mess, the brilliance, the bravery, the beauty, it's all welcome here. This is what makes us whole.
This writing and song making has been your savior. And you have an example in your book, really. It took you a while to incorporate all of this that happened to you earlier. And so I'd love for you to share at least part of it. It's a very long poem, which is I just love. But if you can share parts of this poem as an example.
Yeah, thank you so much. I spend my summers camping. Nature is still my temple. And so the last 9 summers I've spent at the Yuba River in Northern California, camping about 5 feet from the water and writing. And so the last couple of poetry collections have come out of that writing. Where I got to of embracing where I'd come from. So I think this makes a lot of sense. And I'll read a couple of stanzas from the beginning and then a couple stanzas from the end to show the journey. It's called Tell It to the River. The barn on Trevilla Road, along the Potomac River in Maryland, where I made a home at 13, slept on the floor with an old sleeping bag from Salvation Army, hung a torn lace curtain in the window where the glass had long been broken. I ate stale rye bread from the trash, spent my quarters on a tin of Medaglia d'Oro coffee, dark and sweet like the beekeeper boy I kissed behind the hive for a jar of local honey, my skin buzzing, tell it to the river. And then in the poem, we move through a lot of hardship and we come out here. To all the bards along my path who wonder where I go, when I go, who know me as the wolf-hearted woman with one eye dark and one eye bright, one eye that looks inward and one that looks out, one that draws you closer while the other pushes you away, tell it to the river. The way the water loosens my hinges, turns my blood to opals, throws herself against me, purring like some wild beast. I rest my head against her chest, listen to her heartbeat. Yes, now. Yes, now. The sun climbs the ridge in the morning and we howl together because it's good to be alive and say so. Tell it to the river.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm speaking with Meredith Heller. She's the author of Writing by Heart, A Poetry Path to Healing and Self-Discovery. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
here with Meredith Heller. She is the author of Writing by Heart. I know that we're talking about poetry, but you have a very broad sense of what poetry is. So some people say, oh, I can't write poetry. I mean, it's so too difficult. I'm not creative enough. So, but it's broader than what we might think of as poetry, right?
Yeah, it really is. And for so many people, poetry is intimidating. And these days I'm really using poetry to hold space for this kind of deep, reflective, personal self-awareness practice that we're doing. This is poetry. This is writing as a practice of slowing down to really be here, to be. Yeah, yeah.
And you call it generative writing rather than writing for deep editing.
Yeah, right. It's when you pick up if you work with the book or you come to workshop, it's not about deep editing. It's really about writing to get in touch with deep psyche, to dive into the state of creative play where we say yes to what arises. We learn to be in a relationship of trust with ourselves and with the creative process. I think all of that is one of the really exciting parts about doing this kind of writing. And all forms of writing are welcome if you're working with the book or coming to workshop. You can write prose, story, song lyrics, poetry, make up your own form, just write. And write not for anybody outside yourself, but for yourself to learn something you didn't know you knew, but you do. And when we hit this point in our writing where we suddenly write something that it either has so much insight or it's so beautiful or it's like, where did that come from? This is when our writing is really alive and this sense of discovery happens. And this is what I believe brings us back to our writing and helps us to create a writing practice.
When you say it's very special, when there's an aha moment and you go, oh my goodness. And I was just reviewing a piece that my teammate Colleen had reminded me of. And it was a piece that I wrote about just seeing this guy on the sidewalk. He was like in his 20s and he pulled out a jump rope and he started jumping rope on the sidewalk. And I just had to write. I just had to write about what I was seeing, because what he did is he brought up, he pulled out of me a memory of mine of being a child and jumping rope. Mm-hmm. And I had to write about it. And that's what you're talking about. It's like when we're writing and all of a sudden something comes up from the depths that we hadn't thought about in years and we didn't even know, as you say, we knew. And it reveals itself to us.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think what happens and this larger way that I'm talking about poetry is really the way that we live. And so the fact that you saw the guy on the street and it sparked you and moved you. So what I'm really inviting is for us to live in this way, to notice what moves us. What moves us, and then stopping to become curious and to be willing to fall in love with what it is that moves us, even if it's something that's painful or brings up sorrow.
Could it repel us?
Yeah, right. Something that we feel strongly about, exactly. And then when we are moved enough, we cannot hold it any longer, and we spill over. And this is the written form of the poetry, or the sung part of the song, or the danced part of the dance. And I think that it is in allowing ourselves to be moved and to feel and to connect with what touches us, no matter what it is, that allows for our greater humanness, where we want to spill over into something we make. And usually it's something we want to share. And that connects us to others.
You use the word curious. And so being curious, and when you encourage us to not know where it's going to go, to be okay with that, just to be curious, to say, oh, I wonder where this is going to take me, or some word comes up or a phrase comes up and you go, but you just keep writing.
It's such an important part, Justine. I think that if we already know what we're going to write, why write it? You know, I mean, if we knew how everything was going to go, it kind of takes the life out of it. It takes the joy and the spontaneity and the discovery out of it. And it makes it something that isn't alive anymore. And so to not know where a piece is going and to be in the middle of the journey of what we're writing, being part of that journey, not knowing what's going to happen in the ocean of the poem, not knowing what the weather's going to be, or what the waves are going to be, or what, you know, dolphins or whales are going to pop up in the ocean of the poem. And then when it happens, wow, it's exciting.
Well, I'm thinking, as you said that, not knowing the ending. Oh, the ending. Okay, well, if you know the ending, the movie's over. Theater lights come on and we're leaving the theater. So it's over if you know the ending. So
yes,
staying in the juiciness of life is what you're talking about.
It really, really is. And again, so it's like this poetry practice becomes a way of life. It becomes how we show up with ourselves, with life, in relationship, being open, being willing to be moved, being willing to be curious. I was sitting outside in a little patch of sunlight this morning having my tea and looking at the plants. And there was one thread of spider web. And I looked at it and I saw that it had like the rainbow colors in it. And at first I thought, oh yeah, this is what my mind did. Oh, there's a rainbow colored spider thread. And I was going to go on to the next thought. But luckily my muse stepped in and said, wait a minute, a rainbow colored spider thread? How can you let that go by, right? And so it was that moment. And I even learned in that moment how I'm learning to slow down and be curious and be willing to be moved by what is here, by what is beautiful, by what touches me, by what calls up the memories or the even my rant. If I have a rant about something, you know, that's purpose, you know, something to say. You know, it's like what moves us, like you were saying about the experience with the kid and the jump rope. It called up that memory for you, and you wanted, needed to speak it, to give it life, to enchant it into being. And I feel like when we are moved, this is what happens for us. We are enchanted, and then we speak it into being.
what you're saying too, and I know in your classes, you really refer to this a lot, to be witness then is important, that it's important like that. And I know in your classes, you have people read their pieces out loud to each other. And then we feel truly, truly seen.
Yes. Seen and heard. And there is so much, yes, healing that happens in being witnessed when we learn that perhaps other people have similar stories than we do. So we learn that we're not alone. We feel and we see our commonality with others, that we've all been through hard stuff, and that we're all deeply resilient. But we also learn that our unique story matters. I think there's something very affirming about owning and speaking what moves us and having it be received by others. I think it was one of the things that I was running from so early in my life in our society is that, and now even more so, we are at such a fast pace and we forget to make time for feeling. We're so, you know, must get the tasks done and all of this. And so to slow down into being nourished by our feelings. I think we're soul hungry for this.
Yes. Yes. I know I have a friend who writes a poem a day and she sends it out. And she was wondering, she said, I don't know. I mean, she's actually getting them published and she's been recognized a bit. And she said, I don't know if I put this all, if anybody's going to read it. But it doesn't matter. I mean, her friends are reading it and we're reading it and we're going, oh, this is perfect. Oh, this, what you said there. And we're giving her feedback all the time because we're nourished by it. And it's just a wonderful process when you have a group of friends or however you can arrange it in your life to really not criticize or be critical of your writing, but to receive it.
To celebrate.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Meredith Heller, and she is the author of Writing by Heart, A Poetry Path to Healing and Self-Discovery. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, MeredithHeller.com, and she spells her name MeredithH. Heller, HELLER.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Meredith.